Amen. Give God some praise for Minister Craig, everybody. Pastor Craig.
Awesome. You guys sounded good from the lobby. Yep. So I was out there manning the desk so that Tuan could be in here playing the drums. How did he do on the drums? Yeah. Awesome. I don't know if I missed this, but did we welcome our guests from Massachusetts this morning? So if you're with New Hope or Hope Church, right? Just raise your hand so we can, let's put our hands together and thank them for coming. They're spending a few days volunteering through different aspects of the Bowery mission, and we're just glad to have you worshiping with us today. So I just want to read a psalm from Psalm 27. This is written by David. He said, "One thing have I asked of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in the shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord." So we're grateful that we have a God that we can gaze on. And he doesn't look back at us with contempt or judgment or anger. We're in a series that we're talking about the love of God and what that means for us in terms of how we learn to love as well. And I just want you to know as we continue today that you are deeply loved by God. Each of us is, regardless of who we are and where we've come from and what we've done, and that we can gaze upon his beauty and know that he returns the gaze of love to us. I hope you experience that gaze this morning, the gaze of God who looks at you with eyes of love and with arms that are open wide for all of us. So glad you're here today, and God's working in all of our lives. Sometimes we don't notice that, or we don't give him the credit that's due him, but we like to take a little bit of time. And by the way, Charles, as you know, normally does this time, and I'm not Charles, and I'm not going to try to be Charles. His level of energy, we miss it, but he's in went to Connecticut. His father's in the hospital, and I don't know exactly what's going on, but he got a couple days off work and took the bus up yesterday to be with his family. So if you think of Charles, just pray for him. You know, his mother had a stroke last year, and now his father is having some trouble, and they're well into their 80s, and it's just that time of life where there's just lots of health issues. And I know it's of concern for Charles, but he's also grateful that after 30 years of being on the streets and addicted to crack, that he's now with his family during this kind of season of life, and he can be with his parents. And it means a lot to them as well. So just keep them in your prayers. But is there anyone that would like to take just a minute? We try to limit you to about 60 seconds or so, that just wants to share with us something that God has done in your life this week that would lift us up and encourage us. And Harry lifted up his hand. So you start us off.
Thank you. Sorry, I hope this is relatable to everyone here. It's all about God being able to relate it, right? So you guys see me up here playing guitar now for the past few weeks. And I just want you to know that I've barely started playing. And it's just, it's really, really, really nerve-wracking for me to come in every week because I have no idea how I'm going to do. My wife is like, "You don't seem like you know that song sometimes I'm practicing," which is fine. It's good because she's right. She's absolutely right. And yeah, absolutely. But I just mean, like, she's right. I don't know what I'm doing. And I don't get that feeling very often. I usually feel pretty confident in my own ability. Whenever I enter in a situation, if I don't, I just don't do it, right? I'll just say I don't know what I'm doing or I can't do that. And I think there's a wisdom to that, to knowing what you can do and your abilities that you can understand as you go through life. We all have things we're good at and not good at. But I just want to say I feel God working through me in doing this and being up here, and I get people, I gotta tell you, you guys represent that to me whenever you come up after and you tell us how great we sound, because I'm up there going, what am I even doing up here most of the time? And so just that you guys enjoy it, because I'm realizing, I'm learning very quickly that our job up here is not to be amazing, fantastic musicians, which Tuan and Chris definitely are, 100%, give them praise. Yeah, those guys are great. But it's so that you can feel the presence of God and join in corporal worship. And Tuan's really been pouring into me with that. It's just been the word coming to him. And so I just want to say what it means when it says, with God, we can do anything. In our own power, we can do nothing. But with God, all things are possible. And so just I just take that and just say, he can make it happen for whatever it is you need in your life.
Yeah, so if God is nudging you to do something that's outside of your comfort zone, you need to take that step, right? See God. Now, Christy needs just to say one thing because this is Harry's better half, and she wanted to say that she's been what?
Very supportive.
She's been just a matter of record. She's been very supportive. So, okay. Okay. So thank you for sharing. And we just like to hear from you every week, a couple of you just to share how you've seen God work in your life. We know that most of you are in really difficult circumstances, but God promises to be with us always, even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, right? We know that he's with us. So, all right, so we're going to continue now with our series on love. And Vivian, why don't you make your way up here? So Vivian is one of our chaplains. She works at one of our women's centers. And she has become a very dear friend as part of the team that I get to work with of chaplains across our different sites. And how long have you worked at the Bowery now?
11 years.
11 years at the Bowery. That's staying power right there to be here 11 years in a variety of roles. But she joined Communitas, I think, in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so glad to have her as part of our church, and she's going to bring the word
Thank
today.
You.
So God
Thank
bless you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Oh, good morning. I'm going to say a brief prayer. As Craig, he's my boss, him and his wife have just been amazing people in my life. She's not only my pastor, but she's my friend, and he's my boss, but he's also my friend. And this love series has been quite meaningful for me. So what I am going to share today is what I believe God put in my heart of what love is. But let me go before the throne and ask God to help me. Father, I thank you first and foremost for what I believe you put in my spirit. And I stand before these wonderful people today as one who has received this message first and foremost for my life. So I'm coming from a very personal and a very deep place. And I especially today am going to enjoy this scripture because I found out last weekend that it's on Johnny Cash's tombstone, and I not only met Johnny Cash on two occasions, but I was quite fond of him. So Lord, without further ado, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, Lord. You are my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. So what the Lord put on my heart for this series is love is loving your neighbor or loving my neighbor as I love myself. The scripture verse that I'll be coming from today is from the New Living Testament, and that is, Jesus replied, "The most important commandment is this, listen, O Israel, the Lord our God is the one and only Lord, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. The second is equally important, love your neighbor as yourself. No other commandment is greater than these." And if you will listen with your spiritual ears or your heart this morning, I'd like to also read that verse from the Amplified Bible. The Amplified Bible is really, I believe, going to make it more pronounced. And it says, "And you shall love the Lord your God out of and with your whole heart, and out of and with all your soul, your life, and out of and with all your mind, with your faculty of thought and your moral understanding, and out of and with all your strength. And I ask you, do we love like that? Do we love out of and with God in those ways? I know I'm still in process of. But then this Amplified Bible says, the second is like it in this, you shall know, love your neighbor as yourself. It doesn't even say, as I love myself, but as myself. And to begin with, I never, ever read in a translation as it is in the NLT, that to love your neighbor is equally as important as loving the Lord. I found many scriptures of loving your neighbor as yourself in the Old Testament, Leviticus, Jeremiah, many places in the New Testament. James says loving your neighbor as yourself is a royal law. But I must ask myself then, do I obey this law of loving my neighbor as I love myself? Do I do it sometime? Do I do it all the time? Do I do it none of the time? And worse than that, how long have I not been concerned with how I'm loving my neighbor? I believe the challenge in loving others as we love ourselves is because I and we must love ourselves first. And loving others, there's a version of the Bible, I don't remember which one, said loving others predicates our loving ourselves, or it rests upon loving ourselves. And here goes the challenge. And I believe for some of us, here goes what will strike a nerve in this message. And to make sure we're all on the same page, don't think you're off the hook in loving your neighbor right now if you don't have literally a neighbor, because our neighbor is everyone we encounter, to the smallest to the largest level. But we may have issues loving other people or loving our neighbor because of the baggage that we may be carrying. One of my favorite authors, David Siemens, in Healing for Damaged Emotions, says, as wonderful as a salvation experience is, it's no cure-all for emotional health. We may have carried around for years. We may have carried around for decades. We may be still carrying around grief, pain, guilt, shame, rejection, low self-esteem, anger, fear, loneliness, hurt, not to mention times in our life where we may have medicated with drugs or relationships or food or sugar. What happens is that when I or we have all of this stuff going on inside of us, there's not a lot of room for peace. There's not a lot of room for contentment inside of us or joy inside of us. There certainly won't be a lot of room for God's love to come in, and so it won't be a lot of room for God's love to pour out of us. If our inner life, if our inside is in shambles, you better believe then it's easy for people to get on our last nerve. It's easy for us to be cranky. It's easy for us to be easily irritated and quickly annoyed. It's easy for us then to be gossipy, judgmental, critical, fault-finding. Or do you have outbursts at the drop of a hat? Do you find it easy to tell people off or curse them out? Now I declare, I stand before you as one that can still be bothered and easily annoyed, irritated, and all those other things. But because I have matured just a little bit, I am more apt to notice those things in myself. And I ask God to help me. And I try to ask people to forgive me as soon as I'm aware of it. Sometimes I'm not aware of my unloving behavior until after it has passed. I have to tell you that I shared in my chaplain meeting when Craig was discussing with the chaplains a new thing that he is instituting for our chapel services, or even our, I think just our chapel services. I don't know that anyone took me very seriously, but I meant it very seriously when I said that I asked the Lord to save me several times every single week, because I become aware of stuff that is going on in my head, sometimes about people. I may not speak it out, but it goes on in my head, and I can say all kinds of things about people in my head, and I know it's coming from my heart. And so I asked the Lord several times a week, save me, help me, Lord Jesus, please. And I have a favorite thing that I say to him. It's very private, but I'll share with you. I literally ask Jesus, or say to Jesus, Jesus, Papa, I shall we. Because I'm just, you know, okay, I'll leave it there. So we can actually have darn good reasons why we're this way. There may be childhood wounds or stuff that happened in our teens or stuff that happened in our adulthood that have never been healed. And so, as I said, we're carrying that stuff. And if any of you have had deep wounds, or forget about if you've had traumas that have happened, say, 15 years old. Well, you don't want to carry that into 25 years and 35 years. You don't. And so one of the things that we can do is begin to find safe people to talk to. For many, many years, I lived like a turtle. I'd poke myself out of the shell to test and see if a person or if a relationship was safe, and many times I'd dart right back in, and I'd stay there sometimes for years. And it wasn't until a leader in a ministry I worked at many, many years ago in the 90s said to me, Vivian, and I said, yes, and she said, you need to allow people to love you. And I said, I allow people to love me. And she said, no, you don't. You never accept invitations. You stay by yourself all the time. And she was right. So I began to slowly trust people. Craig mentioned a few weeks ago, again in a meeting, Matthew 25:45, where Jesus says, what we do for one of the least of these, we do for him. That person who is difficult, that person you don't like, that person who is mean, not just the person that doesn't have and you're able to help them, but even, I believe God spoke to me, the least person that you like, that is the one Jesus would like for you, beloved, to step out and love. Not in the romantic love. There's a couple here that's being very romantic right now. But not in a romantic love, but love is patient. Love is kind. It keeps no record of wrongs. It always trusts. It always hopes. And I'm sorry about that. But that's the type of love for what whom we might consider the unlovable. I believe if we can begin to recognize God in our lives, you will begin to see him everywhere and in everyone. That person in front of you is the mirror. I started realizing as I engage with women that do come with a lot of problems on a day-to-day basis, and it's not easy. I came to realize a few years ago, when a woman has a very poor reaction to me, well, what have I said to her? How have I treated her? How have I regarded and spoken to her? Because how she speaks to me is most times a mirror of how I have spoken to her. In closing, we went to a restaurant, some friends and I, last Sunday. And there was a waitress, and then her supervisor waiter came over, and he was not, in my eyes, being very fair or very kind. And I don't think I had the best response to him. And later on that evening, I felt that the Lord dealt with me because that man was my neighbor. And I believe, and we can rest assured, that God will give me another chance to love better. And it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? Sing with me. Would you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood. A neighborly day in this beauty wood. Would you be mine? Would you be mine? I have always wanted to have a neighbor just like you, Hannah. I've always wanted to be in a neighborhood with you. So let's make the most of this beautiful day. When we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Whoops. Would you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? Things.